to join this 50th anniversary convention.
能够参加50周年嘅培灵会，对我非常大嘅福分。
And to share with the other speakers the excitement of living for Jesus Christ.
能够与其他讲员一起分享为基督嗰个嘅生活。
My heart has already been thrilled as I have listened to the choirs lift up the praises of God.
当你晚上当你诗班嚟歌颂神嘅时候，我心已经高高嘅向着我嘅神啦。
And then this special solo to the glory of our Lord.
我就见到菲律士佢所唱嘅独唱，将重赞归俾我哋嘅主。
It reminds me of the music of heaven, and when we go to heaven, the only language we shall know will be the praise of God.
啊，想到在天堂里边嘅音乐，到个神我哋所知道嘅唯一嘅音乐，都系赞美我哋嘅主嘅音乐。
And it's a joy to see that you are already learning the language of heaven.
各位唱诗嘅时候，就系已经学咗天国嘅言语，何等大嘅喜乐！
I want to be speaking each evening on the way Christ can give us life, life in its fullness, life in its best.
在这10天晚上里边，我要将耶稣基督俾我哋嘅生命同各位嚟讲解，耶稣基督所赐俾我哋嘅优美嘅人生。
This is the way God intends for all of his people to live.
优美嘅人生啊，神愿意每一个属乎佢嘅儿女所过嘅生活。
If we are not living in the fullness of Christ, we are living below our privilege.
若今天我们没有汲取到基督的丰盛的话，我们今天就是有权利而没有去使用了。And
we need to be revived again.
我们何等需要再次奋兴过来。Revival
means to come alive to God.
奋兴的意思就在神的面前再次活过来。And
only as we live in this reality in Christ can we meet the crisis of this hour. Your word for crisis is made up of two characters, danger and opportunity. There's so much wisdom in that word.
这个词句里面有很多的智慧。
For a crisis does make us aware of a danger, but it also brings great opportunity.
因为确实的，一个危机将危险摆在我们面前，也将机会带到我们的面前。
A crisis makes us know that we must depend upon God for help.
一个危机让我们知道，必须依靠神来帮助我们。
It is when the night closes in that we look up and see the stars.
唯有在黑夜的时候，我才会举头来望见星光。
This is a crisis hour for the whole world.
今天这个时代，整个世界面对危机的时代。
But it is also a time of crisis for each one of us here individually.
如今天我们每个人有新的机会，每个人都可以去占有的时刻。
And as we face the dangers of the world, it should cause us to look up and see the opportunity that God has given. The passage read tonight in the second book of Chronicles, in chapter 20, underscores this great truth.
今天晚上我读出圣经历代志下第20章，就将这个真理再次刻画出来。
You notice how the little kingdom of Judah has been invaded by three pagan armies.
你知道这个细细的王国犹大正被三个异教的国家所侵略。Their
situation looks hopeless.
他们的环境看来没有盼望了。And
the king is afraid.
他们的王都惧怕起来了。
But note in verse 3, in his fear, he resolved to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. The crisis only brought him to see that his hope was in God.
And
And he called his people together and asked them to prepare their hearts for God. And then he stood in their midst and lifted them up in a great prayer. It is recorded beginning at verse 6 and continuing through verse 12. And it closes with this request. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are unto thee. You see here two great principles of revival. The confession of our own helplessness and the affirmation of God's power. Until we recognize our own helplessness, we cannot receive God's grace. The first evidence of any great turning to God is in the fourth chapter of Genesis. And in verse 26 of that chapter, we're told that in the days of Seth, when his son was born, he called him Enosh. Enosh means weakness or helplessness. You remember right before this, the human race has experienced its first death. And this not by natural means. Abel has been killed by his own brother. And if this continues, the whole human race will be destroyed. It is in recognition of this perilous condition that Seth calls his son Enosh. He recognized their weakness, their helplessness. And then the passage says, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. This is the way it always is when God brings a revival to his people. We must confess that in our own strength we are helpless. And recognize that our help is in the Lord. But sometimes it's hard for us to be this honest. We go through the forms of religion, but we don't have the power. It's like being a shiny new car that's out of gas and has three flat tires. And that's the way it is so many in the church are living a life of pretense. It's like the church described in the third chapter of Revelation, the church at Laodicea. These people were rich. They were increased with goods. They didn't think they needed anything else. But when God looked at them, he knew in their heart there was putrefaction. They only had a form of religion, but there was no power in their heart. And he counseled them to buy eye salve and put it on their eyes so they could see. So that they would honestly see their own condition. And he called them to repent. And indeed, unless they would repent, he would spew them from his mouth. Because he loved them and he wanted them to be with him. And when we know that our sin is brought to our attention, it's because God loves us. He wants us to turn to him for help. We experience something of this honesty on the college campus where I teach. It was in February of 1970. In an open chapel service, much like this. And we were having testimonies as to what God was doing in our lives. When an upperclassman stood up and shocked everybody, by confessing that he was a phony, he was a hypocrite. He had been making a profession with his lips, but he didn't have it in his heart. The tears began rolling down his face. He turned to his fellow classmates and asked them to forgive him. But then he added, the night before on his knees, he had settled the old account. And he now had a clean heart. And he was excited about being a Christian. His honesty began to encourage other people to be honest. And there were others now that stood and began to confess their sins. It was obvious the Spirit of God was falling on that congregation. People began to move to the altar and fill the front seat. There was no more room in the front, so they filled the aisles and prayed. Now it was difficult for those still standing to be heard. A young lady came and asked if she could use the public address system. So she stepped forward and proceeded to give her witness for Christ. And as others found deliverance in their heart, they would come to the platform and give their testimony. Their confessions mingled with shouts of joy. Old enmities melted in divine love. Restitutions were made. There was release.
There is something we've been able to seek for.
And freedom and joy.
有自由也有喜乐.
We were all feeling the need to be honest before God and each other.
在这个时候大家都懂得在神的面前,在肢体彼此的面前,需要诚实.
I remember one professor who stood up and said for 6 years he'd been backslidden.
我记得有一个教授起身说,他6年来,我自己灵性失败.
He asked his students to forgive him.
他请求他的学生来宽恕他.
When you have that kind of honesty, you don't have to wait long before you get victory.
如果你有这样的诚实的话,不用多久,只要诚实会逼着你,在你在主里面得到得胜.
I remember one pastor's wife who came and shared her feelings of hostility toward her church.
我记得有一位牧师的太太在一个聚里面起身来承认,他对他的教会充满了愤恨.
She asked the people to forgive her.
他请那些会友来宽恕他.
She was followed by her husband who called people by name in the congregation and apologized for things he had done.
根据他的教会赞美上来,就逐个会友给他哀鸣,请那些会友原谅那牧师所做错的事.
And then he testified how God had given him a new love in his heart.
然后他就见证神怎样将个新的爱心充满他的心.
When he finished, there were 100 people seeking forgiveness around the altars of God.
当他这样讲完的时候,大概有100个人在讲坛的前面,一起来求神的宽恕.
It continued this way day after day after day.
在学校里面这样的神经一日,一日一日这样继续下去.
Through the night hours.
在晚上的时候都继续.
For 185 hours without any interruption.
一共185个钟头这样的复兴,并没有拦阻.
Classes had to be called off.
我只好将我们的课暂停上课了.
No one was interested in basketball or going out on dates.
没人再去打篮球或者约朋友,男朋友,女朋友了.
The only thing now that mattered was getting right with God.
当时唯一大家所关心的,就必须要与神有一番美好的关系.
And waiting upon God in prayer.
大家在祷告之中来等候神.
And then going forth to declare the wonderful works of God. And the flame of revival spread across that campus and out to other schools. Scores of colleges felt the witness of this meeting.
过几十间学校就开始感觉到这个校园所发生的复兴在他们身上的影响.
Students went out into thousands of churches and their revival also broke out.
跟着学生就分批地出去,去到各自的教会里面来见证,结果在那大的教会都有了复兴.
It's awesome to behold when the Spirit of God takes control of a meeting.
当圣灵管理一个聚会的时候,会见到神是大而可畏的神.
And those of us who have experienced this kind of refreshing have learned again that God works only through broken hearts.
我们经历过这样复兴的人,我才能够体会到神唯有藉着破碎的心灵来彰显祂的作为.
We've got to take off our masks and be for real.
我们要将假面具除去,真诚的还是相待.
It has been said revival begins when we quit confessing other people's sins and start confessing our own.
人说复兴是当我们不再承认人的罪,开始承认自己的罪.
Do you have something to confess to God tonight?
今天晚上你有没有事情要向主承认的?
Is there enmity, hostility, jealousy, pride in your life?
在这个生命里面有没有愤恨,有没有妒忌,有没有憎恨,有没有嫉妒呢?
Are you living behind a mask of pretense?
你的生活是在戴着个假面具,你躲在假面具的后面呢?
You're a member of the church, and yet in your heart there is only spiritual defeat.
在你的教会的会有,但在你的心灵里面,你所有的,不过属灵的失败事业.
There is no joy, no overflow of love.
在你里面没有喜乐,没有爱心的荣耀.
and you're not living life as God wants you to live it in Jesus Christ. Don't you see your need of confessing to God your sin? Acknowledging that in your own strength you are helpless. Just like Jehoshaphat when he called upon God that he did not know what to do. He was helpless before this great enemy coming against him. But he added, "My eyes are unto thee, O Lord." Yes, we must confess our own helplessness. But more importantly, we must affirm God's faithfulness. We need to get our attention focused upon the glory and the majesty of a mighty God. Recall that incident mentioned in the second book of Kings in chapter 6. Verses 15 through 17. One morning Elisha's servant looked over the walls of Dothan and he saw the army of Syria camped outside. They had come to take the life of the prophet who had spoken against them. And seeing the danger, the young man ran and said, "Master, what shall we do? What shall we do?" Can't you understand why he was scared? They had no defense against the enemy. But Elisha knew that his help was from a higher power. And he turned and said to the young man, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And then he began to pray. It's a remarkable prayer. He said, "Lord, open the eyes of the young man that he might see. Amen." Have you ever heard anybody pray like that? And here were an army pounding on the gate with their swords drawn to come and take his life. And yet God answered that prayer. For the Bible tells us the young man looked, and lo, there were chariots of fire round about Elisha. The young man saw now what the prophet of God already could see. God was on the scene. You don't have to beg him to come. He's already here. He's like the air we breathe. God wants to help his children. God loves his people. He wants to come and give deliverance But we need to get our eyes open to the power and the glory and the grace of God. Too long we've been living just looking around us at the resources of man. We've been looking at our problems and our troubles. But we need to get our attention upon the glory of Jesus Christ. Hast thou not known, the prophet said, hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he has created strength. Oh, it is the word of God. Behold, God hath made the heavens and the earth by his mighty power and stretched out arms. Nothing is too hard for God. We need to turn to the word of the living God. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. This is the word of Almighty God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And there are 10,000 other promises in God's word. Tell us that God loves us. That God is seeking to help us. God is able to make all grace abound toward us, that we in all things may abound. We may not amount to much ourselves, but we've got a great God. And we need to focus attention upon his eternal word. For if God be for us, who can be against? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all? Do you believe that God can supply our needs according to his riches? And what is your need tonight? What is it that seems to be troubling your spirit? What is it the Spirit has pointed out in your life that needs to be forgiven? Do you have some sin to confess? Well, God is able to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness.
sono occhi singoli zettaide patini.
Are you struggling against some temptation that seems overpowering?
Come in and be in the journey of Sitam. Sitam sees them singly. They too have some doubt there.
Oh, it's able to give you grace to bear it.
Son, love.
Are you letting the difficulties of the world scare you and frighten you so you're afraid to witness? We need to get our attention upon God and His glory. Just like King Jehoshaphat when he prayed, mine eyes are unto thee. And what a difference it makes when we know that God is the center of our life. Note again that 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. After the king had prayed, note verse 13, all Judah stood with him. They seem to have been inspired by the example of their leader. And the Spirit moved upon one of the young men to give a word of prophecy. Verse 15. He said, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but
God's.
Then in verse 17, he went on to say, set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. And note verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. He believed what the prophet of God said. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping God. Note verse 20.
Now, someday,
the enemy is now advancing. But early the next morning, the king stands before his people. And he calls to them, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. That they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Can you imagine this scene? The armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir are advancing on this little nation of Judah. Their military situation is hopeless. And yet, they don't seem to be at all perturbed about the enemy, the danger that threatens. Because, you see, they have heard from God. And they believe the word of the Lord. And so the king says, it's just the choir that I'm concerned about. Because this is going to be their opportunity to sing as never before in their lives. Because I'm going to station the choir in front of my little ragged army. So when we go out on the field of battle, the choir will be right up front. They're going to have the best look at what's going to happen. And I want them to sing that anthem that we often sing on the Sabbath morning. To sing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And note verse 22. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. And all the armies of the enemy were smitten. It seemed that the enemy was so absolutely confounded when they saw God's people sing his praise that they began to kill one another. There's nothing that so confounds the world as when the people of God lift up their hearts to praise a mighty Savior. And when they came to the place of battle, it was just like the prophet said. They stood still and saw that God had given them salvation. One of the most amazing deliverances in the pages of recorded warfare. This is an illustration of a principle that is true of every life here. For in different ways, all of us face enemies. There are many pagan influences that are seeking to undermine our life. And it's easy to become discouraged. And to begin to feel sorry for yourself. That's why the church must get its eyes upon God. We need to recognize we cannot possibly defeat the powers that are against us in our own strength. No one can live the Christian life in his own power. It can only be done by the grace of the living God within us.
为有呢位永生嘅神，我哋里面嘅恩典临到嘅时候，我先系活出基督嘅生命。
As we open ourselves for the Spirit of God to fill and to use，
我哋向着神嘅圣灵嚟开放，让佢充满我哋，让佢使用我哋嘅时候，先能够得胜。
Only as we confess our helplessness and turn unto God and receive His strength。
我有承认自己嘅软弱无助，嚟投靠神嘅时候，我才能够领受神嘅能力。
That's why we should all be living victoriously。
为呢个原因，我哋每一个人都应该过着得胜嘅生活。
Because God is able to supply our needs。
让我哋嘅神能够将我哋一切所需用嘅都赐过俾我哋。
When John Wesley was dying, he burst into singing。
当卫斯理约翰垂死嘅时候，佢一味到歌唱。
He sang, "I'll praise my Maker while I breath."
佢当我咽下最后一啖气嘅时候，我仍要歌颂我嘅救赎主。
And when my soul is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power.
当我的心灵面对死亡的时候，唯有颂赞能够再将我唤醒过来。
He saw the people around him were very disturbed and discouraged.
这位垂死的卫斯理见到他四周围的人为着他非常的灰心难过。
They were fearful their leader was dying.
所以大家都知道他们的领袖现在在奄奄一息垂死了。
But Wesley turned and said, "Best of all is,God is with us."
为斯理转身向着他们说，一切最美好的，那神仍然与我们同在。
And he told those frightened people around his bedside to get down on their knees.
他告诉在四周围正在好惊那些人，大家跪下来。
And he exhorted them to pray and to praise God.
他劝慰他们要向神祷告，向神赞美。
And so the people in his room knelt down around the bed of Wesley.
所以在卫斯理垂死嘅时候，个病逝嗰啲人，大家就跪下嚟。
And as the dying man, with his last strength, looked out, he lifted his hand and began to say, "I'll praise him."
这位垂死的人，他伸开他的手，他望住，他说，我仍要赞美他。
And again and again, he was heard to whisper, "I'll praise."
四周围的人一而再，再而三，听见卫斯理垂死的呼叫，我要赞美他，我要赞美他，我要赞美他。
Whether it is in dying,or in living, we should have that confidence in our hearts.
让我们不论是活着，不论是垂死，心里面有这样的信靠。
We should praise God for His mercy endures forever.
我们要赞美我们的神，因为他的慈爱永远长存。
And whatever comes, whatever our circumstances, we are more than conquerors.Through Jesus Christ.
无论咩事情临到我哋，无论我哋遇到乜嘢嘅环境，但系我哋靠着那胜利嘅耶稣基督，我哋系得胜有余了。
God wants His people to live victoriously.
神甘愿佢嘅子民能够过得胜嘅生活。
Is this the way you are living right now?
各位，今日你嘅生活系咪咁样嘅生活呢？
If this is not true of your experience, you need to be revived.
如果你自己仲没有这么经验的话，你需要复兴。
You need to be what God wants you to be.
你需要入到神心愿你那种的生命境况里面。
Let us stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.
现在让我们一同的站立，我们低头，我们祈祷，我们站立，我们眯埋眼，我们祷告。